All right. Make sure this is on. So, last lesson, for sure. We're going to wrap this up, unless you guys get to rambling again. You always stop me from finishing. But we should wrap this up here tonight, though we'll have to go pretty quickly. So, we are dealing with, you remember, we've covered institutionalism pretty thoroughly. Why not go? Not me. And so, let's see here. That's working. So, I guess what I have to do is push forward instead of backwards. Okay. I shouldn't tell those things to you, should I? When I get home, Jessica, you know you can keep that to yourself. Okay. So, we've covered institutionalism thoroughly. So, we need to just really kind of drill in on what we were dealing with last week as we wrap this up. Can an institution do the work of the church if it is individually supported? And what comes next? I'm going to put a word up there. What is it going to be? Huh? No. Absolutely not. One of the things, again, as we get into this area, and we talked about it some last week, but we emphasized that when it comes down to this kind of institutionalism, it is different from the battles that went on in the 40s, 50s, and 60s when local congregations were using the local treasury to fund and support, even build these institutions. Like, that's a game changer, really. It when it comes down to fellowship, we just simply could not, I say we, but those at the time who were going through the battle, and many of you were members of the church at that time and remember those days. It was a little bit before I obeyed the gospel, but there was just no, it was a split, a division was destined as long as those who are institutional wouldn't quit doing what they were doing. Because you just can't have fellowship with that. When the Lord's money is being used, if you're a part of that, then that becomes a part of your work, a part of your fruit as an individual. So, as I've already stated, it was institutional brethren who started the division. Of course, one of the things we should point out, I'll get to you, Autumn, but one of the things we should point out is that it is always those who add things to the doctrine of Christ, the innovators, who cause the division. Like, over the years, we've gotten the blame for that. Because as time has gone on, after, remember I told you that it was one of the liberal preachers who first, and I think the Gospel Advocate, declared that we ought to be quarantined and separated, and that's really what started the division. We were still willing, conservative brethren were still willing to continue to talk about it and debate it. But so that started with that. Now, over the years, as time went on, of course, they started developing the attitude, well, let's just agree to disagree and continue together. Well, no, if you're going to keep using the Lord's money to do that, we can't participate in that, because that we would be giving our support to that. And so when that happens, there has to be a division. If the Lord's money is not being used, it's a little different situation. And so we'll look at that. Go ahead, Autumn. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, I'll let you go on, but let's, all right, first of all, we'll look at all of that as we get into this a little bit more. But the first thing is, think about, remember from the start, it's not the who, it is the who, it's not what. So we agree with you. I mean, we ought to be, all the work that we're talking about is what we ought to be doing. The evangelism. We ought to be doing that. And you don't have to be limited to one or two people. It's who should do it. And again, we're still waiting on the passage for the organization to do it. And you started to say, Autumn, well, how can we get the word out if we don't do that? Well, just stop and think about it. What does the Bible say about the gospel in the first century? Who did it spread to? To who? Yeah, it spread to the people. Huh? To the whole world. Remember, the gospel had been preached to every creature. And yet, there was no institution. So that's limiting the power that we have. I mean, we can still spread the gospel to the whole world without a single institution. That's really an accusation on God's system of things. Because they didn't need it in the first century, and the gospel was preached to every creature. So we don't need that today. And it's not about who, it's not about spreading the gospel. We all want to do that. The whole question centers around who. Who should do it? An earthly organization or individual Christians in local churches? That's what it all gets down to. And I know I have to go on. We can talk afterwards if you want to, but I do want to finish this. But the thing about it is we have to have authority. I mean, at the end of the day, we can't be inconsistent. If we're going to call on authority for musical instruments, if we're going to call on authority for all of the liberal practices and social gospel and all of that, we can't cherry pick. And but for this, we like this, and so we don't need authority for this. And so where's the scripture? Remember, I had on the screen, and I'll put it back up there in just a minute. But where, you got to put a scripture in the blank spot. And it's not just reasoning, it's not just principle. Where's the scripture for earthly organization doing the work of the church? Like, that's the only thing that I'll drill down on. There are some areas where we might have some differences, but we ought to all agree on the fact that earthly organizations don't have the right to do the work of the church. Because that's who we are, primarily because there's no passage in the Bible that gives us authority or an earthly organization the authority to do that. That's really the number one issue. That's always the issue in all of our divisions and all of our disagreements with denominationalism. It always goes back to authority. So where's the passage? If you can put a passage in the blank spot, then we can discuss that passage. But where's the passage? So now, Autumn, quickly, because I have to get to it. So. So let me ask you, Autumn, without doing that, do you believe the work of the church can be done? Take that organization away. Forget about all of that. Can the work that God has given us to do be done without the organization that you're now describing? Okay. God's way doesn't need enhancing. That's the whole point. It doesn't need enhancing. We do what now? Right, and we have the ability to do that without an organization. All right, we're going to have to move on. you and I will talk about this as we go forth, individually if you want to. Right. No one opposes. Yeah. A part of that, at least, might be true. But it's not because we're not using organizations to do the work of the church. We may well be failing with our children in some ways, but that's not the reason why. It's not because we're not using. Sure. All right. Let me. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. You need to understand the camps in themselves may or may not be wrong if we're going to just deal with the camps. It all just depends on how it is they're organized or if they're organized at all. And that's the thing with that. The camps in themselves, I mean, it's possible for there to be a camp that is not an organization. And so, but if you're going to be a part of that camp, these are things that you need to know. You need to do your homework and investigate and see whether or not it is a situation that you want to be a part of because it's scriptural or unscriptural. But the camp in itself. Now, some of the other things, let me just go ahead with the next screen. There's the passage, and I'll just move on from that. But everything the New Testament says about human organizations preaching the gospel, remember, at the end of the day, all of the emotional arguments, all of that, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. Doesn't matter how I feel about it. You got to get a passage in there. That's how we deal with everybody. That's how we deal with our denominational friends. That's how we deal with institutional brethren when it comes down to the social gospel. Put the passage. We can't come to this issue because we don't like it and say it doesn't matter if I can put the passage in there or not. For this reason, we ought to have them. Put the passage in there. And then we can do it. Without the passage, it's unscriptural. So, you see now. No, I know it. I know it. But just so you know, we're going to end up doing this again next week. Go ahead. Right. Right. The camp is actually the easiest thing to fix, if brother wanted to fix it. Right. And we'll get. Right. And you don't even have to get rid of the Bible teaching per se. There's a way for all of that to happen. Right, right. 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 And I'm not going to attribute any sinister motivation or anything to anyone. It's just a matter of we haven't thought this thing through enough. We haven't stopped it's almost like back with the original institutionalism, let's sit down and study this and talk about it so we can all know where we're coming from and what we mean by this and that. But there has been literally very little discussion, none, hardly any public discussion on this kind of institutionalism. Because brethren have just assumed if the Lord's money isn't used, it's okay. Not realizing if you go back and really study the issue, you find that, and that's why I put that one screen on the board over and over, there's two issues. It's building and maintaining institutions, but it's also institutions doing the work of the church. Regardless of how it's supported or how it's built, human institutions don't have the authority to do the work of the church, period. And you have to find a passage to say, if you're going to say, well, I think, yeah, but we need, no, you're saying the church isn't sufficient if you say you need it. If you say, yeah, but it's just, we don't need it, but it could help. Well, that's not our call. It's always God's call. And the way he makes his call is through the scripture. So if you can't put a scripture somewhere in there, then we can't do it. If we're going to continue to be sound and conservative. So, all right, let's look at the elephant in the room then. Here are the institutions that we're talking about. Like, we know what we're talking about. And all of these are different in different ways. They're with regard to institutionalism. And the camps are the least of the problem, actually. That doesn't mean it's not a problem, but it's easier to fix. When it comes down to the Florida call of lectures, that is ingrained in us. Brethren aren't hardly even willing to talk about it. But no matter how you look at it, it's Florida College involved in doing the work of the church. They're preaching the gospel. They're attempting to win souls and to edify. There's no question about that. With the Truth Publishing Company or whatever you want to call it, the Truth Foundation lectures, obviously, they're doing the same thing. It's a worship service. It's a human organization doing the work of the church. The camp is and retreats, they're a little different situation because, as I said earlier, it is possible, at least in theory, that for the camps to exist without organizing themselves into an organization. I don't get on the phone and call every camp in the country and say, hey, what are y'all doing and how are you doing it? That's not my business. But if I'm you and you're going to attend a particular camp, I want to know, is it an organization or just a bunch of Christians getting together? Are they doing the work of the church or are they just recreating? Like, that's up to you if you're going to participate in that sort of thing. As I said last week, when I look at Florida College, I truly view Florida College as a college, period. I am not going to spiritualize them in any way. I do recognize the danger that's unique to them in that most of their professors are preachers and preachers in local churches around the town, which means they have a whole lot of influence on a lot of young people. And, you know, that adds something to it. But at the end of the day, a college is a college is a college. And there's not a college in this world, on this planet, that I agree with that does everything right. So it's just a college. But now when they start having lectures, if any of our young people go to Florida College, I would, if you asked me, I would say, don't attend the lectures. Don't, because that's them specifically doing the work of the church. And then they have their little worship service in the morning as well. Whatever that's called. I can't remember. What's that called? The chapel. That's a worship service. And is what it is. So they're acting like a de facto religious organization when all they're really supposed to be is a college. And if everybody would just stay in their place and stay in their lane, I have no problem with colleges. I have no problem with Florida College existing. Just stay in your lane. Let the church do the work God has given it to do, and you educate. That's what colleges do. And with camps, they recreate. Do what you are really got together to do in the first place. And there's no problem. And so we'll, but again, as we think about the camps, see, here's one of the things that will be said is this. We are doing the work of the church, but we're not an organization. All right? Now, and so some brethren, there's that disagreement. But hopefully we can agree, okay, you're making that point because you realize an organization doing the work of the church is wrong. And say, yeah, I agree with that. Okay, that's a great place to start. And we can discuss. But now, but a lot of them think, okay, that's wrong. But we're not an organization. Now, Florida College can't make that argument. Everybody knows that's an institution. The publishing company, that's an organization. Everybody knows that. But the camps and the retreats, they often will make that point. And so what we need to do then is maybe we need to, you know, make sure, our, what is an organization then? Because, I mean, if you're thinking, okay, I can go to this camp because it's really not an organization, it's just individuals doing this thing, you want to be sure about that. You want to be sure. And so, all right, now we, you, yeah. 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 And what you're saying is right. That in itself doesn't make a thing wrong, but it is dangerous. Yeah. Right. That's always a fear. Yeah. 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 All right. That I don't know quite. You know, I don't know that history, but. We can do that. That's individuals doing the work of the church. There's no organization associated with that. See, that's the point. Individual Christians can get together and study the Bible all day long. Yeah, that's just evangelism. That's just evangelism. Of course we can do that.
So,
right. Yeah, I mean, that's the misunderstanding that some people have. That remember how, that's why I went down the road that I did before, showing who can do the work of evangelism. Three groups, remember? The individual Christian can do it. A group of Christians can do it. That's what we were doing when we were going to Acme. We were just there. I taught the class. I was just teaching the class. And that's just individuals getting together to do that. And we were using Acme. Now, see, that's the argument that Brother wanted to make with Paul and him teaching in the school. He was just using the facility. That's all we were doing, using Acme. It wasn't Acme preaching the gospel. So there's nothing wrong with Christians getting together and doing that. Y'all are killing me. Go ahead, Dale.
I've been listening to this for quite a while here this evening. And I haven't heard you challenge people to put up to give a book, chapter, and verse. I haven't heard one, not
right,
one.
Right.
As an eldership previous, we dealt with this for 3 or 4 years, the camps in particular. Camp Appalachia and Camp Noah in particular.
Right.
With some who couldn't prove it and they left. But they argue that there is that Camp Appalachia and in particular, Lance Cain in particular, and Diane, we probably met with them for 2.5 years dealing with this. Mm-hmm. We challenged them time after time after time to prove that it wasn't an organization. They claim, and I suppose still do, that Camp Appalachia was not an organization. we took the definition of what organization means, and then I challenged Lance in particular. I said, when he claimed it wasn't an organization, I said, does it have a title? Yes. Does it have a treasury? First they said no, and then we said, where does the money go? He said, it goes to us. In what form? Sometimes it's checks, sometimes it's cash. That makes it a treasury, just like 1 Corinthians 16. Money was gathered. They have to carry insurance. That camp had to carry insurance. If that's not an organization, you show me what is.
Right. And in just a moment, if I get to it, we'll look at, because that's a legitimate, that's a legitimate thing to raise. All right, so you're not an organization. All right, I just want you to be sure you're not an organization in your own mind, because we can convince ourselves of things that aren't true sometimes. And, just have to be careful. Just be honest with yourself. Is this an organization or not? And so we'll look at that, but let me get to Sarah first. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I don't know what it is that you're talking about the Acme thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
You're saying that you got together at an Acme store?
Yes.
That you're talking about?
Yes.
And you had a study?
Right.
With just, okay. So you used that facility because it was big enough or it was convenient for you to use?
Right. Right.
They're not offering at that moment to baptize you. They're not doing anything like that. They're just having a study. So it's just a facility big enough. They're not collecting money for it. They're not paying a preacher for it. It's just a place to come and listen to somebody talk about God.
Right.
So what's the difference between that and the Acme store?
It's in the who. It's in the they. So, like when you say they who? Right. Yeah, they'll come and do the teaching. But who's putting the lectureship together? Who's organizing it? Who's providing? One of the things that, remember what we talked about with the work of the church? The work of the church is what? One, it's when we finance it. Two, it's whatever it is that we plan, provide, and participate in. That makes it our work. Well, it's really the same thing with an earthly organization. Anything an earthly organization plans, participates in, provides, that's their work. So the question is it all the preachers coming from different places? Are they doing the planning? Are they putting it together? Or is it the work of the college? And I think it's quite clear it's the work of the college. It wasn't always like that. And the way I understand it, and I don't have great history on this, but the way I understand it, in the very beginning, the way all those lectureships started, they were just supporting the school, trying to advertise for the school. And so they had lectures, that's it. There was no singing, it wasn't a worship service, anything. And that's it. But over the years, it developed into something more. But the who has always been the college. And that's the issue, whether we're talking about an orphan home, whether we're talking about a college, a camp, or the local church. The issue is, who can do this work? And the answer is, the ones that God gave the command to do it. He specified who he wanted to evangelize and edify when it comes to the church, and benevolence, relieving poor saints. And so that's the difference. At Acme, we were doing that. Acme had nothing to do with that, except they opened up the room for. They allowed us to sit in their room and do it. The only part they played. They never came to it. They didn't know what we were teaching, anything. It was 100% us doing that, just using a room. What you have with the lectures, that's not just using an auditorium. You guys just kill me. That's Florida College doing that. So let me just try to make a little bit of progress here. So, all right. So We are doing the work of the church, but we are not an organization. So here's an organization just for you to consider. All right, what is an organization? This is what an organization is. A social unit of people that is structured and managed to meet a need or to pursue collective goals. All organizations have a management structure that determines relationships between different activities and the members and subdivides and assigns roles, responsibilities, and authority to carry out different tasks. Now, we could break that down a little bit further. And these charts don't originate with me. I can't remember if my memory serves me correctly. I think Ron Mayfield gave me this bottom part, but I'm not 100% sure. But think about the top and the bottom. There's the definition. It's structured. Well, what do you mean? Has directors, staff, counselors, etc. Now, what you need to be thinking is, okay, whatever group I'm participating in, is it this? Does it have these things? Collective goals to educate students, sell books, provide recreation, etc. Has a hierarchy. Again, the idea of a management structure, president, editor, assistant editor, directors, etc. This is a big one. Loss of volition. The individuals submitting to the authority of others. When you have that kind of an arrangement, you probably have an organization. And so a treasury, as Dale talked about, a name, a title to distinguish one similar group from another. When you have these elements, that's what an organization is. So you can say all day long just to get around it, well, yeah, but this camp or that camp, it's not an organization, is it? If you believe like you should believe that human organizations can't do the work of the church, if your only argument is this camp is not an organization, all I'm saying to you is be sure about it. Check it out. Because a lot of times we can just conclude, no, it's not. It's just a bunch of Christians doing it. When it's more than that, when it has these elements, organization. Camps particularly don't have to have all these things. But it's up to you if you're going to be a part of, participate in it to see whether or not it is. Then another thing that comes up, well, okay, all right then. Well, we are an organization. The work of the church is done, but it is done by individuals, not the organization itself. Now, that is actually possible. But again, it's not what people are doing. That's the answer to the camps. I wish it would be done. When a work is mandatory, then it becomes something that the organization is doing, not just individuals doing it. If it is a part of any kind of curriculum in the organization, that's the organization doing it, not just a bunch of Christians doing it. And let me show you this, that I came across here some years ago, and I believe that it was involving Camp Appalachia. This is what they had on a website, teams and sports. And this is, I want you to think about this carefully, because this is not only what they're doing, but this is the answer so far as the camps go. It says, campers and counselors are sorted as evenly as possible into four teams identified by color, red, orange, blue, and green. These teams compete throughout the week to earn points in various activities, including certain sports. The winning team is announced at breakfast on Saturday. So just telling us what they do at their camp with regard to these things. Now watch. Sports are offered in two categories, competitive and free time. Very important. Competitive and free time. The competitive sports, capture the flag and ultimate frisbee, count towards points in the team competition, and therefore all campers, what? Must participate. Who's telling them they have to participate in it? Their parents at home? The camp. It's a work of the camp. Now watch. During free time, however, campers have the opportunity to participate in pickup games of volleyball, softball, soccer, etc., or enjoy indoor games and crafts. But I'm going on to that. Now, here's my argument with camps. Why not just do that? They clearly demonstrate the distinction between what the camp does and what individuals are doing. You want to settle the whole problem with camps? You can't do this with the college. You can't do this with the publishing thing. But with the camps, this is as easy as it gets. Just have Bible study during free time. Let someone teach a class, whoever wants to. And whatever students want to participate in that, let them. So, oh, no, we have to make them. Why? That's not your job. Not your work. During free time, if they want to study the Bible, you can have daily Bible studies at free time, voluntarily. Whoever wants to do it, do it. We already know that can be done because they do it with volleyball, and they do it with softball, and they do it with soccer. Why not Bible study? Why does the Bible study have to be a part of the curriculum? If it's a part of the curriculum, we go back to who? Who's doing it? Who's demanding it? Who says they must? It's the camp. And that's the camp doing the work of the church. Just get it out of the curriculum. But pride won't let us do that. It's an easy fix. If we can all just get along and say, hey, let's just do it like this. We're going to have Bible study for the kids. Listen, I agree with what Jeannie said. Camps are great in themselves. For kids to get together and spend time together, that's a wonderful situation. It's good to build friendships at that age, but not at the expense of doing something we cannot authorize by the Bible. And we don't have to do that. Just put it in free time and boom, boom, it's finished. Go ahead, Dale.
The ownership at the time, we tried time after time after time, and we suggested that very thing, free time. We put it right to Lance Cain in particular. You know what his answer was? We feel an obligation to teach the truth. That was his answer.
Right. And I even have a quote on that from him. But you stop and think about that. I know we're going to close. I have the invitation, so I'll do the invitation quick. But think about that. We have an obligation. A camp does not have the obligation to teach anybody anything.
Amen.
When it comes down to the Bible. That's not their responsibility. It's not their job. It's not their work. But it's that mindset that gets us going down this road. You don't have that responsibility. If an individual person wants to teach a class, let them do it at free time. And the students, someone has told me once, yeah, but the students won't attend unless you make them. Really? I don't believe that. And even if it was so, then so what? Then they don't attend. Can't force them to do it. If I'm a parent, I don't want you forcing my child to do something he doesn't want to do with regard to the Bible. I might try to force him, but I don't want you to do that. That's not your job. And so, all right, so let's see. Well, yep, I still haven't got to expediency yet, have I? One more class.